What's up, sluts? Welcome to Thy Queendom Come. I have a very special fucking treat for you today. Queen Mother is here visiting me in my tropical paradise. Yes, my actual mother. This is Queen Mother's first time on my podcast ever. And we may have been taking tequila shots throughout this episode. If you want to play a fun game, just try to count how many and just send that to me, send your guess to me afterwards. The progression is just exactly what you would probably imagine it to be. I think like half of this episode had to be edited out, which is about what I expected, maybe even better than what I expected. I mean, when you just know someone as long as obviously we've known each other, and as you're gonna see with the two of us, there's just bound to be things that we could absolutely never make public to the world. So strap in and enjoy.
Dreams can come from nightmares too. The queendom will take over you. Dreams can come from nightmares too. The queendom will take over you.
What's up, sluts? Welcome back to Thy Queendom Come. I am your host, Queen Lo. And today I have a very, very special guest for you. Queen Mother herself is in the fucking house. Give it up for Queen Mother of Lo. Woo, the crowd goes wild.
Woohoo, I have arrived.
Oh man, I am actually tripping out that we're here having this conversation right now. Before we get started, I would like to backtrack to about 3.5 years ago when I came home and I said, I am starting a sex podcast. And I was like, I am going to just divulge all of my secrets and sexcapades. And also, like, I think it's time to just air the dirty laundry of family generations, you know, why we're all this way. And I think it's just time to, like, be honest and talk about sex. and how we all are this way. And I just remember you looking at me being like, why don't you release an episode or two? And then let's talk again.
Yeah, I think we agreed that you had to have at least 12. Was it 12 or 20?
I came in hot with this idea of it's time to be vulnerable and real and talk about all the taboo things. And I'm like, Ma, like, let's do this. And you were like, you were like, maybe come back after you've recorded a few episodes.
I didn't think it was the one that we should lead in with, for sure. I mean,
I was like, it's just time to tell all of our dirty, you know, secrets. Let's just talk about the taboo things. Let's have real conversations. Literally out of nowhere, it was like, I have this idea. I'm going to start this podcast. But a little over 3 years later, here the fuck we are. And I have put out way more. I think you said like 12 or something episodes.
Yeah.
And we are far past that 3.5 years later. So I finally got her here. We'll see how much dirty laundry comes out and how much editing we end up having to do. But what was your thought? What went through your head the first time I told you that I was going to start a podcast talking about?
Well, I know. I think when it originally started was when you started doing the feet. And I think my reaction was I actually bought a website. I still have the domain name today, which I just paid the bill for last week.
That is so funny.
But yeah, we were going to do the whole.
Okay, so that's
the winery. Yeah,
yes, no, yeah. That is true.
We were
going
to make it a family business.
We were, and it,
sure,
I mean,
right out of the gate,
we're kind of here. So that was actually like 4 years ago in 2020 during the pandemic.
Yeah.
OnlyFans was blowing up, and I actually started getting messages on Instagram, people like dudes asking to buy pictures of my feet. And so I started joking joking about it, like on my story. And some people like responded like, ha ha ha, it's a joke. And I'm like, yeah, it's a joke. And some people responded like, oh, for real? Like how much? And I was like, hell yeah. And so then I decided to start this OnlyFans in the middle of the pandemic for feet pics. And I told you about it. And at first, like literally for 30 seconds, you were like, wait, what? Like you're selling your feet to weirdos? What is this? And then literally within a minute, you were like, wait, what if you put your feet like this in the shape of a heart and you decorate it outside?
We came up with some creative magic right out of the gate.
So the podcast wasn't necessarily, because people ask me this all the time, like, was this a surprise? Even
no, because you were already doing the feet pics and that, and it was just kind of taking it in a different direction. But it really wasn't a surprise, because you've always kind of had that connection with like conversations with people and connecting with people that way. So
right. And I was doing the copywriting thing as well. Yeah. And it was at the time I started the podcast.
Whereas others thought traveling.
Traveling
just
what?
Just traveling the globe. And
oh,
travel.
People thought I was, oh yeah, yeah, everyone, you know, I'm just a travel butterfly. I love to travel, you know, to experience cultures and new places. I think Mom was just one of the few that was probably clued in that I was also a hoe. I mean, everybody was clued in that I was a hoe, but, you know, like, I wasn't really shy about my international boyfriends or my sexcapades.
Well, it was kind of a free spirit moment.
Free spirit. Free spirit, you know, indeed. So, yeah, for everyone.
Not to be judged, you know? I mean.
Not to be judged. And for one, and we'll get to this, I think that being able to do that and not being judged is the reason that I was able to like explore so much and feel confident in exploring and not feeling like it was this shameful thing. But we'll get to that. But to answer everyone's question, no, they were not. My parents, my family, certainly my mom was not shocked when I went into this.
It was better than your previous plan, which was to save the world.
I am saving the world. What are you talking about?
No, like in a physical capacity, you were going to like bust indoors and like.
That is true.
I recall you telling me at one point that I'm going to travel to the corners of the earth and they're not all going to be nice places.
No, I wanted to.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like a war. I wanted to be a war journalist. And I had also, when I began, you know, I've told this story before when I was in college and I was into like the anti-trafficking movement, like, and that's how I ended up studying sex work in Holland and Amsterdam. And that shifted my mind from anti-trafficking to decriminalization. But when I was in that trafficking, like, I want to save everyone. Like, I want to bust in the fucking doors of brothels. And I was, like, deep in the wormhole. I knew I found this woman in Cambodia who did that shit. But, like, she was Cambodian. Like, she lives there, you know? Like, she – I'm like, me, white girl from like, America coming like, to save everyone.
No,
all
I tried
100
to get
pounds
to go,
of me.
Yeah, I was like, can we go take some Krav Maga classes or something? At least learn how to stomp on their nuts or something. No. You know?
Well, ironic, but that's what I do for a living.
No,
now.
We went to the Krav Maga
we
class.
We did.
Remember?
We went to a Krav Maga class. But this is shit I was saying from an early age. And that's why also when I talk about my journey in sex work in LA even, and you knew when I got involved in that. And honestly, I tell people like I wanted to be a war journalist. Like that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into the fucking war zones. And really, sex work in LA and K-Town and do it, that was my, like, war zone. That was the war zone that I went into. Like, it was a dark corner of the world. It was a very dark space. However, the way I approached it, like, sex work doesn't have to be dark. And it wasn't all dark. It was just how I was choosing to go about it. But I always say this as well, is like, what made me safe when I decided to do that was the fact that it was never a secret that, you know, my mom knows where I am. I'm not, right. People know where I am. You got me a fucking, like an emergency necklace that I could press.
I would have shoved a USB up your ass if I could. I mean, a GPS.
I mean, really. And so people always ask me if you were supportive during that time. And I say, yes, but I told you that. And you're like, ah, I have like trouble with that word. So how did you feel when I went from the OnlyFans, I'm doing the podcast now. And obviously that led me into within LA, like all different types of spaces. And so then once it actually got physical.
I mean, concerned, yes. I mean, obviously concerned, but then also knowing that a certain amount of independence that you have, which is similar to the independence I had, that if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. So, and I think the approach you were taking is that trying to understand the industry, and you can't understand anything from the outside. You have to get into it. And I think, you know, to be able to learn about it, but also to be aware, and I'm always kind of like the black cow negative, but this could happen and this could happen.
The black cow?
The black cloud. Not a cow.
Are black cows a negative? What the fuck do you have against black cows?
No, like the
cows?
Black cloud. Of,
oh,
of
the casting, stormy cloud. Yeah. Yeah, the black cloud casting
yeah,
it.
No cows. Yeah.
No.
You loved cows.
I do.
Little,
I still
though,
love so, cows.
So. But but no, I mean, so, I mean, you have to think about all the things that could go wrong, but then also it was enlightening, and it's, you've learned a lot, I've learned a lot, you know, so I mean it's been interesting.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, I think,
it's kind of crazy. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit out there.
Yeah, you've at least been entertained by a lot of the stories. Which we'll get to more of that in a second. I know a lot of people, especially people who know me and have been here, are definitely dying for me to ask you about Tampon Boy.
But I think my most common reaction is like, well, that's interesting.
It's interesting. I mean, it is fucking interesting. It's fascinating.
You know, I mean,
but yeah. I think that like you being able to respond to me, go like your child going into sex work. Not that I was a child. I was 27, but being able to respond that way didn't happen like in a vacuum. Like that was able to happen because of the foundation that had been laid throughout my upbringing of being able to have not only like being honest about shit, but being able to have conversations about sex, just not being like off the table or off limits. Like it was never this thing that I could not come to you about, talk to you about. And I think that that really sets the foundation for actually being able to be honest about what I was doing at the time. And then also
despite hiding the first few.
Oh, I mean, I was fucking 14. Like I was way too young to be having sex in a fucking pickup truck on this poor guy's like terrible, his mother's like floral kitchen and cloth. Anyways, it was terrible. No, but actually, like when she did find out I had sex for the first time, like she was more, you were more upset that I didn't actually to you about
it. Honestly, that was the only thing I was upset about. I've always said that people are sexual beings.
Right.
Just like animals are sexual. I mean, it's a natural behavior, desire, whatever.
Right.
You know.
And through the ages.
That's why I tried to keep it open. I wasn't keeping it like, hey, go do it. You know. But I think that was the thing that upset me, was knowing that, not even that I didn't get it directly from you, but the person that I did get it from was just like, ugh. Really?
Right. Which adults like talking about like teenager sex lives is fucking strange.
Yeah. It was.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you heard it through.
And I was also 1,000 miles away from home. Right. I had laryngitis, couldn't speak. And I was like.
I was a fucking tyrant. I just did it because I could. But also it goes to like say how much, because I never felt like I needed to hide. Like I was not in a household where things were like hidden or off limits. And I rebelled really for no good reason. But I also think the narrative of sex and shame and guilt in the Bible Belt was so strong that just because within the household, maybe it wasn't this like total off limits thing, like as a 14-year-old who's hearing about it at school and, you know, it's presented one way at church and a completely different way in pop culture. And then you've got teenagers, that's how you're learning about it. And it's confusing, you know, but luckily, after that, it was something that I felt supported in. I never felt like I had to like had
well,
to...
Well, you can't be shamed.
Right.
You can't be shamed.
Can't that's be shamed.
That's the thing, is you can't shame regardless of their age. And, you know, even kids, young kids explore and boys are, you know, little,
I remember exploring with my friends at a very young age, exploring bodies. Like, it's just a normal
thing. It's very important as a parent that when those situations happen as a child that you react in a way that child doesn't feel shamed.
Right.
Because if they feel shamed, then you're literally destroying their sexual energy for a lifetime.
Forever. Their self-image, everything.
And it takes years for them to learn that there's no shame in getting an erection, or there's no shame in having an orgasm.
Right.
You know,
masturbation is something that is literally demonized in the South. I mean, and not even in small ways. I mean, I remember I rewatched an episode of One Tree Hill recently, which was like a super popular sitcom when I was young. And there's a whole episode about Brooke, the main character. This is a mainstream, not Southern, not Bible Belt, production. Like, there's a whole episode about how Brooke was caught masturbating, and it was all about brooking yourself. Oh, you were brooking yourself. And it was this huge thing through the high school. This high school girl, junior, senior in high school, is masturbating, and it becomes a thing, and it's fucking crazy.
Absolutely.
And yeah, guys get a lot of shame about it, but A, it's normal for guys. Everyone just assumes that guys that age are just whacking off all the time. But for girls that age especially, it is seen as so horrific. I mean, I know I hear stories all the time of girls getting in trouble with vibrators in their house, finding toys. I mean, we knew growing up, one of my girlfriends growing up, and I was doing modeling and stuff, and we had a modeling competition, and of course I'm going to wear a thong on the fucking runway.
Oh, I remember
where
that.
Where there are lights at, you know, it's not a sexual thing. Stop. And this mother would not let her, you know, teenage daughter wear a thong, and she has fucking panty lines on the runway, and it's like, it's not about sexualizing her. Why are you sexualizing this teenager? It's about a thong.
I thought there's nothing worse, but I grew up dancing, and you know, dancing, you made sure you didn't have panty lines under your leotards, and you know, so that's why I bought you thongs at a very young age.
But it was
when you got grounded, I took them all away and left you those Monday, Tuesday.
Well, that's
Wednesday
when you caught
panties.
Me going to the party in the mini skirt after you told me not to fucking wear
so
a mini skirt.
I
changed after I left the house, and to this day, I will die on this rock saying that it was not intentional. I thought I was going to wear those jeans. No, I swear to you, I thought I was going to wear the jeans, and I got there, and everyone had mini skirts, and so my girlfriend and gave me a mini skirt, and one of those moms called this woman, and she came, she stormed, she gave this girl the look of death, and then she did. She fucking came in my room, took out every article of clothing, locked them in her office, and I had to ask her to dress me for school. And she, as crazy as that sounds, she was actually not a very good disciplinary, because she would say you're grounded for a week, and then a day or two later she'd be over it. So ultimately it just ended up closet just ended up being in the fucking office for a while.
Yeah, there was some of the stuff you never got back, but I do remember.
That's true. My email address, which was LOL Hottie Girl, she made me lose that one. She made
and
me
I
got
down,
it.
I took down your MySpace.
Yeah.
But.
LOL Hottie Girl at yahoo.com.
That happened on a Saturday. That happened on a Saturday. And Sunday, you stayed in your flannel pajamas all day Sunday. You even went to the store with your dad in your pajamas because you had no clothes.
I think I journaled about running away.
Yeah, probably.
To New York.
And then it was Monday morning. You came in and you said, I need clothes to go to school. And so I gave you, I remember it was the yellow Bambi shirt. The Bambi t-shirt and some jeans.
And some fucking full cheek panties right up the side of your crotch. Yeah, shit was awful.
Some of them Monday, Tuesday.
It's so good. This woman took me out of school fucking first semester of high school. I didn't even make it to Christmas. And she pulled me out and homeschooled my ass. And honestly, it's a good thing. I would not have made it through high school. No.
Absolutely.
But anyways, we digress.
How did we get there?
How did we even get there? And we're back. We had to take a very important tequila shot break. I pound mine and mom sips hers.
I'm still sipping.
She sips her shots, which I guess is like the classy way to do it. I don't know. Anyways, we digress. Back to, this is always a part of my story. It's a part I think that people are fascinated by. And I think when I talk about it and I realize how interested people and how shocked people are by it, I realize just how unique it is, especially growing up in the South, where I grew up around people who had to lie to their parents constantly about where they were going, who they were going with, the guys that they were seeing. They could not talk about sex in the household. It was just, you know, abstinence was the only sex education that existed. And I think that I think it's so fucking harmful. I think it's so harmful. You told me from a young age, like, you told me about a girl that you went to school with in the fucking Bible Belt in the South who ended up on her first, like, her first week at college, ending up on a frat house, in a frat house, just naked. This, like, girl who all throughout high school was not allowed to go anywhere, not allowed to do anything. Her parents were super strict. And then all of a sudden, the first week of college, she's, like, ending up naked on a couch in a fucking frat house. And I think, like, that stuck with me in the sense of...
Yeah, no, I didn't want you to be so desperate to do the things that kids want to do.
That kids are going to do anyways.
And my thought, even like on drinking, I mean, no, I obviously never let kids come over to the house and drink. But my own kids, if you wanted to taste, I mean, I remember letting you taste Zima when you were a young child. But my thought was you would taste it and not like it.
I loved that shit. Bring Zima back.
I knew it was going to be a shit show then. So, but I did always tell you guys, you know, if you drink, call me, I'll come get you. You're not going to get in trouble. I mean, I was that kind of parent.
And because you would rather us be,
I want you to be safe
than,
I want you to be safe.
And it's just a realistic, right. It's a realistic perspective. It's realistic, you know, when you're talking about fucking teenagers. And what it, I never actually felt like there was this forbidden fruit aspect, which I realized people all around me, there was this forbidden fruit aspect and shit. They wanted to try all these things and they wanted to rebel in all these ways that ultimately were like super harmful. But I did rebel, but luckily it was snipped in the butt hella fucking fast. But it also, I learned very quickly that I had support. I learned very quickly that I could like come to you and talk about shit and it wasn't going to be the absolute end of the world.
Yeah, and I think that comes from, I mean, parenting's hard. You don't know. You want to be the friend, you want to be the parent, and there's a fine line. But all I knew in my moments of parenting was that I didn't want you to learn things from the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to keep that open. And the same thing, whether you're talking about the little white lies or you're talking about drinking or you're talking about your interest in sex or even just understanding what sex is, if you start making that a taboo subject, then the door closes to everything. Mm-hmm. And that was the one thing is I wanted to be involved. I learned about sex on the school bus. Mm-hmm. And that's like, they didn't teach anything. And I also, you know, the sex shaming and things like that, even from an early age, that it was such a taboo. Mm-hmm. That's like, my main goal was to keep two things, an open conversation and then also, you know, just the relationship between you and your brother. Those were my things as a parent, two goals. And
I think you did a damn good fucking job. Hell yeah. Snaps up for Queen Mother. Cheerio.
Right. yeah. Your brother be your best friend, you know? And then you have an open, you know, mind. And sex and sexuality and culture.
Yeah.
And religion. I mean, everything is keep an open mind. Don't
Which is not necessarily right. Which is not necessarily something that you grew up with, which is interesting.
No.
So I think that's an interesting part too, especially when we talk about a lot these days generational trauma. And there's a saying that if you don't transform trauma, you transmit it. So if you do not break cycles, if you do not transform and change patterns, then you're doomed to repeat them with your kids and them and so on. And truly, like, you and your mother did not have this relationship at all. And so you really had a choice to either repeat that cycle or completely fucking change it. And it's actually very hopeful and inspiring for people who did not come from homes that were as open as the one I'm coming from. And not to say my dad was super open. Like, that's a different fucking conversation. We may have to be a bit further down the road before we get that guy on.
I don't think you're going to get him
on. We love him, but oh man, that would be so bad. I'm already vetoing that. Love you, Dad, but no. But you didn't come from that household.
No. I mean, I came from a conservative Baptist belt.
No, like Footloose shit. Yeah. She was dancing, but she was dancing for Satan. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, she was a sinning whore in the eyes of those around her.
From a very young age, I was
Don't be coy about it. Let's just be real.
I went to ballet and jazz class, and my solo costume was always bright red and the red lipstick and, you know, up on the stage. But if I went to church on Sunday, I wasn't allowed to talk about that I took dance classes. And as a 5-6, you know, even I started as early as 3 dancing.
That's weird to tell a kid that you can't. It's in and of itself, it's sexualizing them. It's very fucking weird.
It was kind of confusing. And you know, even in high school, I remember my high school principal told me that, you know, that I would never be successful dancing, because I was dancing in high school, actually, in a theater.
Theater. I mean, it was burlesque. This was the '80s, guys. The '80s was so lit.
Late mid-80s.
The '80s was so fucking lit.
I mean, I had fishnet hose and I had
I'm nostalgic for a time I never existed. You know? I was just an egg just there, just like, let me out.
But it was like, you know, it was a small town and it was like, oh, I was delusional. That's what it was. I was delusional that I was going to be, because my dream at that time was to go to Juilliard. You know, mm-hmm. It was the Flashdance, Footloose, Fame. All of that was the big hit. You know, Madonna was hot.
So. Whoa. In the eyes of your neighbors, you were the whore of Babylon reincarnate. And that's true for me, too, when it comes to my small town. So we're alike in so many ways. So then fast forward, I'm involved in sex work. She's hearing the story. She's like, what the fuck? Turn your location on. Like, what did he say? What happened? And then eventually I got online. I started working on Sex Panther and Loyal Fans. And then about a year and a half ago now, it was like at the end of 2022, was your first experience. Like, you called during a, I've told the story
you
before.
I called, you answered.
Yeah,
FaceTime.
Famously Kevin. Kevin, you can actually hear him oinking at the beginning of the Fendom episode. But
Hi, Kevin
loves exposure. He loves being filmed. He loves being on my Twitter. He loves oinking. He loves sending. And so I'm filming Kevin when he has like this collar around his neck. He has like Queen Lo's piggy bitch written across his chest and his forehead. He's barking like a dog with a leash and he's like sending money. And I'm recording him and Ma calls. She FaceTimes me and I'm like, oh shit, Ma's calling. And so I exit out and I answer the phone. And I'm like, Kevin, like, bark for Queen Mother. I think it like came out. I mean, obviously I'm Queen Lo. She's obviously Queen Mother. So I was like, bark for Queen Mother. Like, give her your thanks and send. And so he's like sending ruff, ruff, like, Queen Mother, thank you so much. You know, blah, blah, blah. And so she hangs up and sends me a message like, what the fuck was that? And so I posted this exchange on Twitter. And within moments, I had a flood of DMs like, yo, does your mom do this? Like, can I send her money? Like, does she, what's the deal here? Da, da, da. And I was like, oh shit, Ma. And so then I had a guy who like wanted me to call you and like he wanted to fuck fruit. Like, that was the thing. He was like fucking fruit, like actual like pumpkins and like a watermelon.
It was a cantaloupe, I think.
Cantaloupe. I don't remember how exactly it happened, but he was like, would this impress her? And so I called her and I was like, yo, this guy's fucking some fruit, watermelon, whatever. And, you know, wants to know if you're impressed. And she was like, no second, like just immediate clap back. Like, I'll be impressed when he fucks a dragon fruit. And I was like, damn. And she said it. And
I really wish I would have said cactus.
I know. That would have been fun. Know,
but
there's always next time. Okay. Anybody who wants to fuck a cactus for Queen Mother. Anyways. So this guy, she was coming down to visit, and this guy like wanted to show off these like multiple fruits that he was going to like then penetrate. Listen, it was hilarious. Some of you might be sitting here like thinking, this is weird, like Mother Donner, I mean, watching okay, someone penetrate
if
fruit.
If they're sitting there thinking this is weird, I've got one question for you. Have you been on a dating site lately? I mean, seriously.
Have you been on a dating site? Pop culture? Have you seen some of the shit that exists out there?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I think I can speak for both of us when, and I've talked about this in my sessions before, that this is a professional space for me. I'm not getting turned on. I'm not getting wet during my sessions. Oh, yeah. Like when I do BDSM play in my own life, in my own life, that's a different story. But when I am here working, which is what I'm doing when you are here, it is a very professional space.
There was nothing
sexual. It's not like
about
either
that.
Of us are getting excited, God knows, yeah. about yeah. this, what's happening. It's fucking funny. And I know that there are people out there, I've seen it, that are like, this is weird. Like, even family members, like, there's twins that do this shit online together. They're not scissoring.
No,
like, and
no.
I mean, if they are, they are, but like the majority, the ones that I like, they're not scissoring each other. It's a fucking thing that exists. And it's not like they're even alluding to doing anything strange. And so there's the argument of like, it's still sex work. They're still like getting off to it on the other side. And it's like, fucking so?
That kind of reminds me of, like,
I don't care.
I think, didn't we watch Brokeback Mountain together?
We did watch Brokeback Mountain okay. together, and that is the most visual.
No, and then the kids actually, it was you.
What did I do?
Your brother might have been around.
What did I do?
You came in to get me, film me watching Two Girls, One Cup to get my reaction.
Guys, that's hilarious. Because no, I watched that on Halloween in seventh grade. And so that's when I would have had you watch this. So in seventh grade, I was trying to get my mom to watch Two Girls, One Cup. If you don't know what that is, fucking keep it that way. Don't look it up. If you do, do it from a private browser and where no one's looking. It's horrific. And it's probably like every millennial. This is like so many of our like first experience with any type of porn. Like truly, like it was horrific. Anyways, did you ever watch it?
Yeah, you guys filmed me watching it, and I was
where's
like,
that
"Oh
film?
My, jeez!"
I have no recollection of that. You'd think I would remember that.
I was in my office upstairs. I specifically remember.
That is so bad. That's
yeah,
so
I was like,
hilarious.
Because that was about the time like MySpace and all that was coming out.
Were you just completely...
I was mortified. I was like, what is going on here?
I mean, I spent a good amount of my time around that time looking up like porn on your computer for sure. So did too, because anytime boobs were spelled wrong, it was him. Like that was my brother.
How did he spell
Can we bleep
it?
His name?
How did he spell it?
B-U-B-E-S. I remember looking in the brow, B-U-B-E-S. Listen, I was looking up porn. It was the fucking worldwide internet. You had fucking dial-up AOL. You had access to anything.
You guys had Roadrunner.
We had AOL, then we had Roadrunner.
Yeah, you had.
But anyways, besides the point, obviously there's a fucking line. Like, obviously there's a line. However, I think that looking at this is so black and white is a direct result of like sex being such a shameful right. and weird thing to talk about within the household. Like if it's...
Well, I saw a difference because I have an aunt and I saw how she raised her children versus the difference in my household. And so I think that was kind of enlightening too, to just kind of like see the different perspective.
Yeah.
That it wasn't, you know, there wasn't that weirdness, that awkwardness in her household.
Yeah.
Where in my household, it was, you know, everything was sexualized in some way. And I don't know if that was from, you know, previous traumas and, you know, or what.
I am willing to bet both of my tits right now. Saw them off. That's how confident I am that this shit is generally, like, it repeats. Right. It's fucking instilled in people at such young ages. Right. And it repeats and it projects.
Because the perception of sex and the lack of communication about sex and everything was very different. But, you know, thank God I had other people in my life that, you know, kind of got two views.
Right. But, I mean, we're getting now, like, in 2024, especially right now with the plans of Project 2025, if right. President fucking Trump gets into office, like, they want to make it to where people get less information in schools. They want to censor it even more. And it's like, this is, it's so fucking dangerous to not have those conversations.
Well, they take all that out, and then they wonder why there's problems and issues. It's because the taboo of talking to it. In my generation, there's a lot of people in my generation that don't know how to talk about it. I mean, they honestly don't.
Well, and that's why they don't, because it's uncomfortable to them. It's and taboo. I think it's, that's like the thing. They have to go past the discomfort to have the conversation in honor of the thing they really care about, which is the safety. Mm-hmm. And taking it like a step further as far as like the education, it's not just the nuts and the bolts, the birds and the bees. It's also like pleasure, like teaching kids, like, and not pleasure. Like you're not telling them to go out and do these things. If when they have questions, you're answering them, and also like teaching them what feels good. Like sex is supposed to feel good. Like there's supposed to be pleasure. This feels good. This doesn't. Now they know, they're able to identify what feels good and what does not. So they're able to take that into their interactions or relationships as they grow versus not knowing.
It's the lack of people connected with their masculine and their feminine energies, because they've been brainwashed into a life story of what life's supposed to be like versus be an individual. You know what I'm saying? As far as like the narrative that, you know, men are supposed to be strong and that women are supposed to be the weak, the housewife, get paid less, get the lower jobs, you know, the more feminine. And then the men don't tap into their feminine energy enough. And then if they do, it's a taboo that you can't talk about, you know?
Right. So, well, I mean, that touches on exactly why I'm here, like what I do in in this role, which is having a lot of times very dominant.
I was
run.
A fan of Dr. Was it Dr. Ruth back in the
Dr.
day?
Dr. Ruth, hell yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to be Dr. Ruth.
I remember as a child seeing her on TV, and I thought, now there's somebody who's interesting to listen to, you know.
Well, because she's talking about real shit.
Right, right. And you know what? I can tell you this. She didn't learn that from reading a book.
No, Dr. Ruth was a hoe.
You know, I am confident. She lived a good life. Is
she lived
alive?
A good life. You're not. Is Dr. Ruth is still alive, right? I think Dr. Ruth is still alive. I think she would say that she was a hoe too. No, I think she might be dead. She might be dead. I think she would be fine with me calling her a hoe, because you're right. You can't, like, you don't know
she
shit unless you experience shit.
Right, right.
That's why literally when I went to Amsterdam to, I was studying Dutch social policy, and I was going to write my paper on how the sex work, legalized sex work there just increases trafficking and allows for it to happen. And that's when my shit just got flipped upside down, because I realized, oh wait, no, like fucking like decriminalizing this and making this like a thing actually protects them and makes them safer. And there's actually way less trafficking. And I mean, I was in a sophomore in college, and I was ready to renounce my motherfucking citizenship and join the red light district. Cause I was like, all us church bitches are coming out to these places and hitting folks on the head with Bibles without knowing the first motherfucking thing about what we're talking about. And I was like, I'm trying to get in that red light district. I'm trying to be in there. I'm trying to have the light shine upon me and know exactly what it's like, you know?
Can I just say this? That she's still alive.
No. Dr. Ruth, if you're here,
she is still alive.
And are you looking for a protege?
She is 95. Sex did her
Yo.
Right. That hoe, that's why she...
That, we mean that in the most utter respect.
Like a queen, queen of the
I
hoes.
I am a hoe.
The original.
We are hoes.
I mean,
I come from a long line of hoes,
she
actually.
She spoke truth back when, like, I mean, Dick Van Dyke and them were sleeping in separate rooms on TV.
Jesus Christ, that woman has seen everything.
She was talking about how to give a blowjob on Johnny Carson.
Yo,
you know,
how, okay, I mean, if know. Anybody listening can get me in contact with Dr. Ruth, we don't really have a ton of time. Like, we need to hurry. Like, Dr. Ruth, I admire the shit out of you, man.
I am a fan. I have always been. Yeah.
I'm trying to be the Dr. Ruth of our generation.
Well, no, I embrace that.
I wonder if Dr. Ruth's ever worn a strap on. You know what? Respond to me with that. Let me know, Dr. Ruth. Have you tried out a strap on? If not, I would be shocked. You've been alive for a long ass time.
I'm not even going to question that. I just want to know. I mean, really.
If you haven't, maybe we can help each other.
So this is a legit question. I'm not. I just want to know, like, how old were you the last time you were able to, like, slam that, that strap on?
Well, actually, I'm actually curious about, maybe she does talk about this. I'm curious about more than the strap on. Like, I'm curious.
I got lots of questions.
She's 95. I'm curious about how she's grinding the hips. Like, I actually do believe that fucking and constant. I had a conversation with one of my subs about this recently. This motherfucker cannot move his hips. A lot of them can't move their hips. I do the isolations with them.
The blood flow.
I do them the hip isolations with them because it's just so bad. I'm like, your blood's not flowing. Like, I know you don't fuck well, but, like, beyond that, like, it's stagnant. It's stiff. Like, it doesn't matter how strong you are if your shit's not fluid. You know what I'm saying?
You're so I have to think that, like a box.
Sex and movement and body action has got to keep you, like, lubricated and fucking happy for the long haul. Dr. Ruth, reach out. Hello at thyqueendom.com.
Oh, yeah.
Your people can talk to my people, and maybe our people can get together. I'll show you how to wear a strap on. I'll bring you one. Anyways,
I would love to get her opinion on some of the new gadgets they have out.
I would too. I bet her mind's fucking blown. Oh,
please, she's probably tell us more about those toys than.
I mean, that's true. But like, I was going through my grandma's shit. Who's my grandma has been married 9 times, by the way. She was married 9 times.
There's a lot of questions there too. I want to know.
There is. We won't dive into that until she passes on, but we're not going
to
rush that. We love that she's still here with us, but we're
going to
wait
to get on their knees.
I know. I just said we're going to wait to talk about that till she's no longer with us.
I want to know.
She swears she's been married to 6, but I've counted the rings. I know it was 9. So back on track. So this dude fucked fruit.
Which
he did. It was fucking hilarious. It was funny. We laughed. He paid for it. Over that weekend you were visiting, I had some other dudes who like were like, I just want to send your mom money. Like some financial domination findom sluts who were like, I want to send your mom money. And we're like, okay, cool. So they did. And that was that. And then it wasn't until it was a couple months after that I was at your house visiting and I was in her hot tub. And a lot of people have heard this story on the episode with my tampon bitch, Brandon.
Jesus.
And I was in the hot tub. I was talking with Brandon and I had talked to him for a little while. And, you know, we'd messaged back and forth. And it just so happened that this was when he decided to share a fantasy with me.
I just want to say hi, Brandon, if you're out there.
We love Brandon. Tampon bitch. We're hoping that he actually becomes a full-time slut. You know, everyone manifests that for Brandon. But this was the day that he shared his desire, his fantasy that regarded a bunch of tampons and women's panties and a cage. And so I'm out there about to, like, I'm talking to him about it. And you come out and you get in the hot tub. And so
I did, right?
So I told you what was going on. I told Brandon that you were there.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't shy. He was... Yeah,
actually, surprisingly, like, not at all. He was like,
and it wasn't weird. I mean, it's like, I'm just like, literally, she's in the hot tub, just like chilling in the hot
tub. In my bikini, fully
clothed.
And
I'm like, I don't know if I was doing, usually I'm out there messing around with my flowers or something. It was just like, I'm chilling around the house, and you just happen to be talking to some guy on FaceTime, as far as I'm concerned.
It was Sex Panther. Like, he's paying me for this interaction. Yeah,
video interaction, and he's wanting to go. Take tampons and stick it up his ass. And I'm like, okay, well, you know. But then when he starts like he wants to impress me, I mean, I'm just going to say, if you want to impress me, careful what you ask for, okay?
Dead.
Because like I'm not, I mean, ooh, woo, a little tampon, okay? Woohoo, I'm so excited for you. Fuck off, Brandon. Impress me.
Okay, so a lot of you probably already know where I'm going with this at this point. Fuck, you know.
Like, I mean, are we doing this, Brandon?
How did I become this way? The chicken, the egg, the egg, the chicken.
The chicken, the egg, egg, chicken.
Yeah, like it's no question, right? No, that's literally, quite literally what happened.
I went, but Brandon, I'm talking, you know, he came through. He
no,
came
but what
through.
Was really was like, cool is, yeah, we were talking about, we were sending video notes back and forth, and I told him you were there, and then you started laughing, and then I was taking a video back and just like telling him to shove tampons up his ass and laughing at him. And she was like, she kind of got in there. She was like, my little cottontail. your little cottontail. And she's like, she just like that, just like you guys heard her. She's like, you want to impress me? I'm not easily impressed, Brandon. She's like, I want to see 12 up there. Dead.
I think we took, did we get straight to 12?
You went straight to double digits. Okay. It was 10 or 12. You're like, I think, I'm pretty sure it was a dozen. You were like, I want a dozen, my little cottontail.
If one's good, a dozen is better.
Literally, I was like, yo, right. He just, you know, we just got into this a few minutes ago. I was like, oh my God, it was so brutal. And it but, was you know, fucking Brand, funny, man.
I want to say, here, can we, cheers to Brandon.
Cheers to Brandon. This bitch trying to get me drunk.
Brandon, yeah. But Brandon, don't forget to go to the store and buy more tampons and put the fucking box back in the cabinet, okay?
No, he does. He fucking, you know, he goes to Costco. He sent me pictures of him buying the fucking jumbo pack at Costco. Yeah, yeah. And you know what the amazing part is? You know what the amazing part is? Is that everyone in Costco is looking at him as if, you know, that is such a good husband. Like, oh, look at him. That is so sweet. But also the thing that you were shocked about, I remember you thinking, you saw him and you, you saw him and
he looked familiar.
Holy fuck. Like, no, but the reason he looked familiar was because he looked so normal.
Oh, yes.
That's not what you were expecting. Up until now, you saw my slut, Kevin, dressed like a literal Doberman, barking. Well, I mean, and you saw the guy fucking fruit. But you know, now you see Brandon.
To put that in perspective, I mean, it's like say, for instance, you grew up in the South. And we used to talk about this.
I did
like
grow up in the South. You don't have to say, for instance, I did.
You know, you, yeah. But like, the perspective of people in a certain area of the country about, like, say, L.A. or New York, you see what's on TV and you see what's presented to you, and there's a certain, like, vision you have of that. And then when you – and the same thing in, like, sex work. You know, you think of, like, sex workers as a certain – what you see in Hollywood, what you see in the TV shows and things like that. So – but it's very normal people.
Anyways, back to the story, tampon bitch. So, tampon bitch is putting tampons up his ass. Mom's there. It's fucking hilarious. It was funny. And I think we talked about it afterwards when I was telling folks about it, and people thought it was like interesting. Like, it's with your mom. Like, what's going on? And you, and you had the perfect response. You were like, it was fucking funny. And whoever would have been there, anybody who would have been there would have laughed.
It was pretty funny.
It was funny. And
it was funny. It was funny. I got to agree, you know. And he played along. It wasn't like, you know.
He played along. And it was actually one of the things that he talks about that session. He didn't even touch his cock. He didn't even masturbate afterwards. It was so, like, not your idea of, like, this sexual encounter that someone pays for. And it goes to show that there is a lot more than, like, just sex within this world of sexuality and play, clearly. But I remember you being, like, super shocked at how just normal he was
very normal.
And how you heard his voice on either a video or a voice note before you actually saw him, and you were just like, fuck, he sounds like he could be anybody.
Right, yeah. So,
which,
I mean,
goes
he could
to
be, you know, the guy at work, or
he could be the guy at work
or the neighbor or whatever, you know.
Which I think goes back to what you were saying about people's perception
about,
of who is doing this type of thing, who's paying for this type of service. And I think,
well, they expect it, like, you know, what's the fat bastard wanking it? Yeah. So they're wanking it, you know, and that's not what it is. like Austin. Thank you, Austin Powers. Cheers.
At least Suave in their basement, wanking their meat would have worked, but no, fat bastard. That's it. But that's exactly. Bastard.
No, that's the that's image.
Literally
that's
literally exactly.
The image Hollywood puts out is fat bastard is the one that's on the line.
It's so yeah. True. People put that out there. People picture that. And people perpetuate that, I have noticed. Mm-hmm. When I go out and tell people what I do and I talk to mostly men, especially about what I do, they assume they can't even accept it. A lot of them can't even accept it as like normal. They're so like almost threatened by it that it's like they have to think that these guys are fucking weirdos. They have to be weirdos because like who the fuck would be into that? Because they can't even allow their minds to even go there.
But what I think what I've learned, or well, it's kind of like opened my mind up a little bit, that there's more people out there that are into the weird shit than there is the people that aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, the thing is what's so crazy is, again, going back to our earlier conversation, we are born as sexual beings.
Right.
You know, and
creative beings.
And like, yeah. And yet it's something that. It's like a taboo. Nobody talks about it. And respect to Dr. Ruth, going back to that, Dr. Ruth, put it out there. Have a conversation about it. And you tell me today, like, who's out there having a conversation about it?
We are.
We are. Okay.
We are.
You are. I'm here to support you in that. But, you know, I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of fucking idiots out there. We're here to educate you. Okay. I mean, if you
it's
can't fucking figure it
you're
out,
an
get
idiot.
Help. It's okay. It's okay.
You all should
we
be
are here
help.
For you.
We are here for you. And that's the thing, because as
Dr.
many people.
Dr. Ruth was here for him. We
yes,
are here for
we
you.
We are here for you. There's cheers you know, to that. Cheers. Yeah, cheers. She's cheers. Winging her shot glass around in this bit. I mean, come on.
You have to get
and
an
you
education.
Have to, you have to be educated.
But you knew where I was going with that.
Yes, I do. I know. I always, yeah, it's right here. But it's true. And as many people that you have now seen who reach out about the most bizarro shit, there are more people who are not reaching out and who are like dealing with their desires, questions, shames, guilt. I mean, I get so mm-hmm. much of the same question, the same very similar stories from people. And there are just as many more that aren't actually doing anything about it.
Society as a whole has put a taboo on what is freaking natural.
But it's also because I think if you peel it back a bit, sex and pleasure and feeling good, if you activate that in people truly, then they're no longer interested in the things that make the powers that be
make them vulnerable.
Stay in power.
Right,
like when people are actually doing what feels good, when they're connected to their bodies, when they're saying, you know, when it's a full body yes or a fuck no, like you cannot control a population that is that in tune. And people's creativity, people's like sexuality, those are the same exact thing. And so mm-hmm. it's like, who benefits from people being stunted? It's not us. Like right. it's the people who are in power who keep us like, we don't know our own boundaries. We don't know what feels good. Like it's, you know, not teaching adolescent people, kids growing up into adulthood, like not teaching them about just what feels good and what's supposed to feel good, what does not feel good,
right.
does not prepare them for the world and for under like for determining
like,
and deciding
like,
what is good for
and
them.
And I think we've talked about this before. It's like they're expected to be like this virgin and white.
Yeah.
And then the minute they get married that night, they're supposed to be the whore.
Which that shit is that mean, shit is you know, crazy.
It's like in what other area of life are you supposed to be like completely ignorant and stupid to a subject and then become an expert overnight.
All right. So back on track. We had the tampon bitch experience, which was funny and hilarious. And I think I talked about it, whatever, spoke about it. Regardless, I ended up having people online, subs, asking about Queen Mother. at this point, it had been several months since the video of Kevin, and then you had visited, I think, and the fruit thing, and we posted, we laughed about it, and the tampon stuff, thing, and then that was funny as shit, and so I laughed about that, and then I told some subs about it. So it became this thing where now subs were actually asking to send her money, and they were sending me money, like, for Queen Mother, and I was like, fuck this. She was coming to visit at the time, and she was actually bringing her Doberman to Mexico. I lived in Baja, like TJ, like around TJ at the time. And she literally was bringing her dog down to be treated because vets in the United States are criminal, by the way. And so she has like all these fucking added vet expenses and all these bitches wanted to send her money. And I was like, why the fuck would I not just set you up a loyal fans? I was like, why would we not just set you up a loyal fans? So we did. And then the first weekend we set it up and you were down at my house, we went live and sluts were fucking tipping you. And we even did a Fendom drain call with a guy that I've done like rather pretty big drains with, which if you don't know, that's just like where I'm snapping or whatever. They're sending. They're literally just sending cash.
Hey, but you know what I just thought of? That wasn't the first time that I got money. The first time was when I broke my arm. Snow skiing.
That's before I was even officially a dom. That was literally the Christmas before. I was still doing feet pictures actually at the time. It was literally like, I think. But it was before I was doing... I had crossed that line into sex work. But you had broken your arm.
You put me at the bar because I wanted you guys to enjoy the day.
We bought her skiing passes for Christmas so she could ski for the first time. And we went up there and she broke her arm the first run down.
Like 5 minutes.
So we stuck her at the bar and I posted her online and was like, buy this woman some drinks. And she had her Venmo. Like,
that
actually
was a good day.
But that was way before. That was months before.
I even
became a dom, whatever.
And then I had
the podcast, but it wasn't to that point yet. But yeah, that first weekend, we did a pretty big drain, whatever. You made like close to $1,000.
Yeah. It was pretty consistent. Yeah.
Can we just, for the people listening, can you just walk us through what that was like?
I mean, well, we did, the first one was we did a joint call, but it was really just more like, it was more like an interview kind of like, it wasn't anything like crazy, like sexual. Like it was one of your subs just wanted to like meet me, I think. And we just kind of like chatted like normal conversation.
Yeah, which is what a lot of
which was kind of cool, you know, because we're just like talking, and he tipped for that conversation, but it wasn't anything like weird.
He paid per
minute.
And
I was actually kind of shocked because he was actually a really attractive guy. He was a young guy, you know. I mean, you know,
probably, I can't remember exactly who it was or what we talked about, but I do remember he
was probably, you know, late 20s, 30s, but attractive, physically fit.
I do remember we just had a chat with him.
Yeah, and we just chit-chatted a while. And so that was kind of the first one.
That was actually the thing, even when we went live, people have asked, like, what do you do? And it's like, we're just fucking talking, and people are asking questions. And people like him, I think, actually found it really healing to be in a space where there was, like, a normal flowing conversation about sex and sexuality and his own.
Well, it was kind of a healthy conversation about like what. I mean,
who he is, what he wants, shit he's not able to talk
that
about.
People should be having is basically what it was.
Very
it was a
much so.
That normally, people should be having.
Yeah.
You know? So we kind of went there, and that was, you know, that was kind of cool. You know, I mean, it was, you know, enlightening to me to realize that this is just. It wasn't like what you think. Again, you know, it's not fat bastard, you know, on the other end.
Fucking fat bastard.
You gotta love Austin Powers. Come on. But yeah, so that was kind of like the first experience of it. And then, yeah, I connected with a couple of different people and kind of kept the conversation going. And yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. You know.
Queen Mother definitely has her loyal fans.
My little friends now. You know? My little friends.
Little friends that she only talks to if
when they
they're
deserve
paying
it.
You. No, but I think it's been cool too. You've been single for over 10 years, and you've actually like you've done online dating and shit. and a lot of your experiences with online dating and some of the conversations and some of the, like, you haven't received any value out of so many of those. And how, how was this kind of, I remember you having kind of an aha moment of like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
well, okay. So like, on the internet, you could spend your time like online dating, or you could spend your time on Loyal Fans. Probably talking to the same guys, to be honest with you.
No, because the ones on Loyal Fans are the ones that are willing to pay for what a lot of the guys on dating sites are trying to get for free.
I mean that in a general sense, that they're normal people.
Yeah, they're exactly.
They're normal people, but it's like the guys on the dating sites are just trying to send you a dick pic and get the rise from it. You know,
totally
on a dating site.
How many unsolicited dick pictures have you received, like on dating sites?
It was the joke when I teach group fitness, and I mean, you know, all the ladies are like, I share that shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's what happens to your unsolicited dick
pics. I mean, usually for a while I was just forwarding them to my hairdresser that he had much more appreciation. But there's one that I kept because it was like massive, and so like then I just started doing a return text. If you ain't got it, don't send it. If you ain't got it, don't send it.
If you ain't got it,
don't send it.
Oddly enough, the ones who have it don't feel a strong inclination to send it. But that's, you know, something in the psyche. We'll break into another
time. I mean, but my point being is I can have a conversation about what they really want to talk about on Loyal Fans versus the bullshit on a dating site.
Right. It's much more forward.
I mean, if you're going to waste my time, let's...
At least you're paying for it.
Right.
But I think it's cool. Like, I now know a number of people, including you, who have normal, quote unquote, jobs. I have a lot of friends in the industry, colleagues in the industry on Sex Panther who also have, you know, vanilla jobs who do shit like this on the side. Like, the sheer number of people who have OnlyFans or are doing this stuff online has just completely boomed. And honestly, I'm like, it doesn't mean that you want to like quit your job and become a fucking domination. It doesn't mean literally women have been receiving unsolicited dick pictures since the internet existed.
Well, I mean, there's
if we could just make it value for fucking value and like women everywhere can like feel hot and be worshipped and make a couple extra bucks, why the fuck not?
This is the question is if,
what's the question?
If I look at a photo and give you a comment on it and get paid for that, that's considered sex work. But if I'm on a dating site and you send me a fuck unsolicited dick pic,
that's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
No, that's actually insane.
And it's like, why should I be penalized, or why should anyone be penalized, or like, you know, demeaned for
criminalized, actually criminalized. People are trying to criminalize sex workers. That's what I say all the time.
For profiting off of something.
Yeah. If somebody whipped their dick out in front of me, it would be sexual harassment, sexual assault. But somebody can send me a picture of their dick unsolicited and it's totally fine. But the second that I say it's fine, just pay me for it and it's consensual, then all of a sudden it's a fucking problem.
I don't get that.
Bizarre.
Yeah, and I've never kind of
And it's not like anyone like. Will, there will never be any strong enough force to crack down on unsolicited dick pics. Like, literally, we're going to have fucking unsolicited AI dick pic fucking avatars popping up in our avatar living room soon enough.
I can't even tell you the number of dick pics I've received.
Of course not. It's an hit. I mean, me neither. But now these days, like, I'm paying.
Okay, I'll evaluate it for you.
That's what they want. They want an honest, you know, they want an opinion.
My time is valuable. I don't have time to sit here and fucking look at dick pics.
That's what's fucking crazy, though, is a lot of guys who send unsolicited dick pics want free humiliation. Like, they literally want free humiliation.
I mean, honestly.
Ignore them. Anyways, okay, we digress again. Okay. So, in conclusion, this is going to be a, you know, Dom and Mom is going to be a continued conversation. But for now, Queen Mother does have her own Loyal Fans, and I think it's cool as fuck. I think there's always going to be naysayers who think that it's, like, weird that, like, we, I don't know, like, send, like,
that we talk about shit?
We talk about it, but it's also like, we're doing fucking sex work. Like, who cares? I'm pretty sure it like ran in the family historically, anyways. Like,
I mean,
we're building the generational wealth.
I just like to consider it keeping it real.
I think just keeping it. I mean, keeping it.
Okay, fucking live real. In your closet and say you don't like talking about right. sex. I don't believe you.
Right. Again, back to the power thing, like creativity, sex. Like if you harness people's sexuality, if you stunt people's creativity, then you have a society that's perfect for like slaving away their entire fucking miserable
You have a pissed off society of, is what you have.
Oh, yeah, truly. point and case, U.S. of A.
Right.
Anyways, Mom, Queen Mother has a fucking loyal fans. All of you should check it out. Honestly, it would be really cool if like you could fucking retire early because you're just Queen Mother. You know what I'm saying? Like fuck that normie life. I wish all the women would just like fuck off. There's enough men in this world. I swear to God, there's strokes for every folks. Like seriously, like there's something for everyone. Like you got a toe fungus, like someone will buy pictures of it. Like I shit. You
and seriously, not. No judgment you, here. Sell that toe fungus.
Sell the fucking toe fungus. Sell your fucking bathwater. It's not easy. You've seen. It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. People like to be like, oh, I'm just going to sell nudes on the internet or I'm going to sell feet picture on the internet. Like if you think it's an easy way out, like you're going to be sorely mistaken. It takes fucking work. It's a full time and a half job. Right. Yeah. However, like it can be done and sex is the most powerful thing in the world. So
it is. Yes. Again, we're sexual beings.
Yeah. Honestly, I was just title the episode. We are sexual beings.
We are sexual beings.
We need t-shirts that say what? We are sexual beings. She's like, remember, circling
get
back.
Get real, okay?
Circling
Don't
back.
Be afraid.
All right, I'm going to get real. We've had too much tequila. We got to put a stop
I think
to this.
You're the
we
one
have
talking.
To, we have to edit so much out of this episode so that people don't get crazy with salacious sound bites. All right. This was a pleasure. Go check the show notes to subscribe to Queen Mother and you're mothering the unmothered. You're helping the unmothered souls of the universe. Like you're actually mommy. Like people call me mommy, but like I'm mother to none, mommy to all. Like Queen Mother actually is mother.
Yes.
All right.
I'm providing directions, corrections, and erections. To the unmothered souls. Isn't that what it does?
Or poorly mothered. You know, either one. We don't discriminate. We're fantastically mothered. Honestly, we don't discriminate. I mean, anyways.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyways, this has been wonderful. Cheers.
Thank you for any more tequila.
No, you have a drink. No more shots for you. We got a drink. Thanks for birthing me. Thanks for being here. This is wonderful.
My little golden flake.
Yeah, she has the original golden flake. I am the original golden flake, actually. Anyways,
you stay little nugget, you.
Keep it golden.
I think we go. Cheers.
What you waiting for? She's got what you need while you over there at the door. Nightmares and dreams you just need believe. The queen has all that you should need. Just say the queen can come, that will be done. Come right in, close the door. Just wait for what she's got in store. Come right in, close the door. Just wait for what she's got in store. Dreams can come from nightmares too. The queendom will take over you. Dreams can come from nightmares too. The queendom will take over you.
Go and get them, love.
Thy Queendom Come is a production of TQC LLC. Music by Guillermo Jamot Jr. and LDK. All stories and audio used with permission. Names and details have been changed to protect the sluts involved. No, do not stop that record button. Do not stop that record button.
You don't communicate well, dear.
You knew we were recording.
You said no.
You just lit. I said yes. I said we are recording. Doesn't sound like it has enough water in it. That pipe sounds dry.
It's fine. Okay.
Queen Mother is definitely not
okay, cheers
hitting
to...
a bubbler.
No, I'm definitely not.
Queen Mother is
Cheers right. to Dr. Ruth. Let's
anyways,
go back.
Anyways, okay. Edit, please.
Oh, wait, I found. Okay. I found.